entering this month, you guys maybe here, backs maybe against the wall, like coming out fighting now, like, look, I'm sick of being off these last years. I'm ready to go.
Well, we definitely feel ready. But, you know, it's going to be hard to tell where we're at until we get through Sunday. Honestly, you know, we felt really confident last year coming out of Thursday, going into Fast Friday, and then things changed pretty quickly, literally within 24 hours. So you don't know around this place until it's actually over. But, you know, we feel prepared. We feel energized. We felt that way last year. We feel the same way this year. Let's hope we did our jobs.
Were you surprised yesterday? It seemed like a lot of teams doing some early qualifying sims before the boost. Did you guys look like you might have done some to yourself?
Oh, yeah. We were doing a lot of qualifying work, but you don't really get that either on Wednesday or Thursday. Obviously, it rained Wednesday. So I think, you know, it made sense that a lot of people were going to qualify, especially looking at the weather. And I think that's why you saw a lot of people just getting a jump start on it, really.
And out of the four qualifying laps, what's the most important? Obviously, you want to let a banker lap, but you don't want to fall off too much. But is there one that maybe stands out that
the average is? I think the big first lap is probably what's been more focused over the last few years. Everyone wants to see what that first lap is, because that gives you margin and cushion for the rest, but you can't fall off either. You've got to be consistent. So a big first lap's always important, but consistency is just as important. So it comes down to those two things.
Did you notice when you've run, I don't know how much group running you did yesterday, but on Tuesday, is it tougher this year? Some guys are saying it's a little bit tougher in the pack to train. Is that going to make more of a track position race?
I feel like it's pretty similar to last year. Very, very similar. I think the race you saw last year is what you're going to see this year for the most part. Yeah. Cool.
So hypothetical, you qualify 14th tomorrow. Do you go back out for that second run to try to bump into the Fast 12?
Probably, yeah. When it's with, you know, the way the field's stacked right now, I think we would, yeah.
Go. Here, but do you feel like coming into this month, maybe Penske backs against the wall after the last two years feeling?
Yeah, I think hopefully we come out pretty strong, and we can sort of say, hey, don't wake up the sleeping giant, right? But you know, at the end of the day, we are very well aware that it's so competitive right now, and you know, like we said before, you know, it's all been about dotting our I's, crossing our T's, and making sure that we just sort of figured out what we thought went wrong. And then today is probably D-Day in terms of figuring out if what we thought was true or even qualifying. So, yeah, we're skeptical. We're all skeptical right now because we know what it's like and how where we were last year at this point. So we'll see.
Does it feel any different going to the Fast Friday this year compared to going to the Fast Friday last year? Do you feel difference in the car?
Maybe? Yeah, I'll probably, mentality-wise, I feel more comfortable and sort of know what to expect with the boost levels and what that's going to feel like. Probably my first Fast Friday where it's this windy, which is going to be pretty dicey. It's been a lot more a comfortable month for me, just building up. I understand everything. I understand just, you know, how it flows, the ebbs and flows of it. Not, you don't have to put up a time, but as long as you feel good in the car. You know, things that I didn't do in my rookie year. So I'm feeling good, yeah.
And I asked Joseph this. I'm curious your thoughts. Out of the four laps, what's the most important one you feel like to nail? Because
I think the last one.
Last one?
Yeah, I think the last one's very important because that's the one where you had the most drop-off and there's probably the most risk on that one. You know, whether you hold it flat, you continue to hold it flat, whether you have to breathe off the throttle. And it's very hard to be accurate when the tyres are starting to get, you know, worn as the run goes on. So I think the last lap for me, or, you know, and probably the second and most important was probably the opening lap, in terms of your opening lap to the green flag, trying to get that as, you know, mint as possible to get through as fast as I can.
So how do you set up qualifying this year differently versus last year, where you're not necessarily worried about bumping, but you do want to be pretty far up there? So.
Yeah, it's risk versus reward, yeah. Right? We want to be in the Fast 12 because there's championship points there and bits and pieces, but you know, like Tim said before, you know, there's so many good cars. You know, there's already like 10 cars before you're out of two teams. You know, and that's what's crazy. So, I don't know how to really sort of, you know, approach it. Just apart from just, you know, we got to make sure that we can have a good Fast Friday. We feel where we're at, and we'll be okay.
Is there a cutoff? Maybe you qualify 16th or 17th after your first run. You go, okay, that's where I'm going to go back into the Fast 12, or you know what, I'm going to stay where I am.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we'll keep trying, I'm sure, to get into the fast 12, especially now that there's no bump day. We can at least, go and, maybe risk a time to get some good conditions or something. And I think it's going to be interesting seeing who uses the lanes at what point, because some people might have a bad first run and then just come back in, cool the car, and, delete their time straight away and go and just risk it all for another one. And maybe they might lose spots, they might gain some spots. So, and we were probably, like last year, we were more worried about, we'll get into the show, then maybe I could have gone out again and tried something where it was all hands on deck trying to get him through, yeah.
Cool.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Cheers.
You, the opportunity, if you have a rain day like the other day, it doesn't kill you. It also gives us more time to build up the momentum for the 500. It gives us more time to get the energy in the city and surrounding areas going. Now it's like bam, bam, done. You're just like, you're here, it happens, and then it's over. Which is pretty intense. Running till 6, like, we don't need to run till 6. Like, stop at 5, let's get home to our families. But if you had two more days of practice the week prior, then you could do those things. I think it may have even been 11 to 4 or something back in those days. I can't remember, but, it just, right now, it's a different style, it's a different mentality. And that's okay. We do what we have to do. But, I do remember, going back to those days, there was a lot more stuff going on. We had the Raleigh, which was a golf tournament that was here at the Brickyard that almost every team participated in. We had a lot of different activities around town that were very big, the fashion show and everything else. It may still be going on, but I don't even know about it, if it is. And the truth is, because there's no time. We don't have the time anymore to activate around the city like we used to. So those are things that I wish we could go back and do a little bit differently, but it's just me.
Graham, you always hear driver safety, you're comfortable in a car here, you're not going fast enough. How do you balance
that? That's actually not true.
You don't think so?
Okay. I think it's the opposite.
Okay.
And I think my dad said this, we don't need to, sensationalize the whole thing. The best laps you drive here, the fastest laps you drive here, are the easiest laps you drive here. It's like Jack said up there, the laps that you're hanging on are never the fastest laps. The laps where you're too neutral, the laps where you're fighting the balance through the corner, they're never the fastest laps. The laps in which you just very precise and it's very smooth and everything else, those are the fastest laps you do at the speedway. So hanging it out, that works to a limit, but I think we find even with the current car that if you go too far, it just scrubs more and goes slower. So I know the quote, but I don't know that necessarily it's 100% accurate.
I was safe to say maybe last year was your car in that sweet spot? Is that why?
In the race?
Yes.
Yes, in the race it felt very under control. And as I just said a minute ago, I was happy to feel like last end of practice yesterday, we didn't get much race training, but when we did, it felt very, very similar to that. So I was pretty pleased.
Do you change anything? Like 2020, you had a car to win here. I know you talked about that media day last year. And then last year again, is it? I know you don't like to watch the past, probably brings up, and I know what happened. Do you change it? Like, man, what do I got to do around here? Are you a superstitious kind of guy?
I'm not really. I'm not really. As I said up there, I take it for what it's worth. I mean, obviously, I want my time to shine and to win here. We've been close before.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But there's, the majority of people that race at this race never win it, right? But the vast majority. And so, to me, try to put myself in a position, put our team in a position each and every year to win it. We've been close. We learned from the past 2020, the last stint.
Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and this is Pit Pass F1. a brand new podcast that'll take you closer to the action of the world's most prestigious motorsport. From Monaco to Miami and Australia to Azerbaijan, Pit Pass F1 is on the ground and has you covered. Esteemed F1 journalists Julianne Serasoli and Chris Medland will take you inside the sport every round. They'll keep you up to date with the latest news breaking in Formula One and the most influential views shaping the world of Grand Prix racing. Every Friday, we'll be bringing you a track guide and race preview, and Chris and Drew will be in your feed every morning from Saturday through to Monday to keep you up to date on all the day's action on and off the track. So if you want to be in the know on the latest in Formula One, subscribe wherever you get your favourite podcasts and visit us at evergreenpodcasts.com. Pit Pass F1, a brand new show for Evergreen Podcasts.
We put on a high stagger set of tires and I got really loose. Had we just done the same set of tires from the run before, I'd be confident to say you're probably looking at a guy that certainly we were better than Dixie at that stage on fuel as well as handling, but we kind of shot ourselves in the foot by trying to get too tricky in the last stint. And last year, everybody knows what happened. So, you know, you've got to learn from your mistakes and try to eliminate those going forward. But this place is this place, and it does. I mean, it does what it wants to do.
Does it crater that you, though, to have something happen like last year? Does it leave a crater in you? That
you
kind
know,
of car, put yourself in that position. And
yeah, I mean, it's tough, man. It's tough to because you just don't know. And, you know, the way that we had the fuel mileage covered, that's what's the hardest. Because how many more times are you going to get that chance? Like,
right.
we fooled everybody. I mean, we had everybody covered. Even the best of the best, we had covered. And that, now they know, though. They've all watched last year, you know, and if they haven't learned, then that's their problem. But they've all watched, so how many chances do you get to do that? That's the trickiest part of this. How many opportunities do you get where you're coming, you know, it's lap 120 and, for instance, you know, Dixie isn't playing a role, right? And guys like that who normally are going to be the hardest to beat, they're not there. That chance doesn't come very often, so. But they won't say. So but I have no problem with that. You know, I the stuff I deal with day in and day out on social media is appalling. You know, in fact, my PR girl literally just sent me some tweet about some guy who thinks he knows how much I'm worth and that racing was never about anything but making money. People have no clue that I've got, you know, the five businesses I own pay me about three times as much as IndyCar racing does every year. It's not about money for me. I do this because I've always wanted to win and everything else. The stuff people say, though, you just, it's fascinating. You know, it is fascinating. Social media is a toxic place. It's a place that I can't wait for when my time comes to just shut it down and get away. I enjoy the car culture it breeds, but from a business perspective, it's a dangerous and it's a very slippery slope for our, you know, society to live off of. And unfortunately, that's basically what came of that. I think, you know, obviously there's people like Jenna and others who want to continue to stir the pot on this whole Romaine thing. I raced him wheel to wheel last week and I had no problems. I've said my piece and I move on. Literally Sunday night, I move on to my next thing. I got much bigger things. I got a beautiful family to take care of and everything else. The last thing I'm going to consume my time with is him. You know, but that's what people want to think. And, you know, the Twitter trolls all day long. Even days like yesterday, oh man, you're still salty about him. I'm like, I haven't even talked about him. You guys are the one talking about him. Obviously, you're still salty about whatever it is you're salty about. Just move on, but none of them can. That's their life, you know. They're like, all you got to do to learn a lot about a human being on Twitter is just scroll through their feed. And these people just are—they're just jerks, you know. The stuff they say to everybody—it's not just me.
A lot of it's provocation.
Oh, it just makes them feel good, you know, about themselves. But you know what makes me feel good? It's not my wife, my little girl, you know, and the life that we have outside of here. You know, it's I've got a lot of happiness, and when Ohio State wins the national championship this year, I'll be a very happy man. I don't need anything else.
So now you're putting the pressure on Ryan Day. I see where you're going there.
I don't.
Stay ahead of the pack with the latest racing news and interviews from the Hammerdown Racing Report. your source for regional racing action as well as the national scene. Every week, we recap racing action from all around Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan and cover national racing series from the World of Outlaws to NASCAR. Plus, get all the latest racing news. Join hosts Scott Hammer and Ron Miller, along with different featured guests each week. From dirt to asphalt, we have you covered. The Hammer Down Racing Report, available weekly on your favorite podcasting platform.